Blog Talk Radio. Why is credibility one of the first items under attack? Whether a public office candidate, office politics, or being in a car accident, hitting below the belt is common practice in society today. What can you do about it? How should you react to cyberbullying, harassment, or intimidation? Realize it's your self-confidence that defends your credibility and supports your belief system. You cannot be shaken by bullies when trusting in yourself. The dictionary reference defines credibility as the quality of being believable or worthy of trust. And the free dictionary defines it as the quality, capability, or power to elicit belief. And it also has a quote here by Henry A. Kissinger, which states, quote, America's credibility must not be squandered, especially by its leaders. And I hope Congress is listening to that one. The second part of their definition says for Free Dictionary, it says a capacity for belief, so that we have a basis to actually take a look at credibility today. So let's talk about you and credibility after a car accident today here on Estra's radio show. Welcome, and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra on Block Talk Radio this April 27, 2013. This is your car accident talk radio show, sharing information and concerns that help you. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you from Seattle, Washington. On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, self-insured employers, and coping with everyday situations from being involved in a car accident are up for discussion. So dial 718-766-4385. Again, that number is 718-766-4385 to participate in today's broadcast. Someone injured, just like you, may need to hear your stories on credibility. But first, our personal injury in the news this week. These are my views on current events and have no association with the writers of the articles. From time to time, I'll be stopping to take a moment to comment on a section. Our first personal injury news comes from The Guardian in the UK, and the title of the article is Three Doors Down, Bassett Arrested After Lorry Driver Dies in Car Crash. It says, Robert Todd Harrell admitted to police he had been drinking and taking drugs before the fatal accident. And this article is by Sean Michaels. Quote, Robert Todd Harrell, co-founder of the Mississippi rock band Three Doors Down, has been arrested after a collision in which a man died. As of yesterday, Harrell was still in prison following Friday's accident outside Nashville, Tennessee. The Bassett was allegedly speeding along Interstate 40 when his car clipped a lorry, sending the other vehicle through a guardrail and down a steep embankment. The driver, Paul Howard Shoulders, was reported ejected from his seat and was pronounced dead in hospital. After hitting Shoulders' lorry, Harold's car scraped along a retaining wall and stopped about half a kilometer away, officials told Associated Press. A spokesman said Harold acknowledged consuming hard cider as well as prescription drugs, Lortab, a synthetic opiate, and Xanax, an anti-anxiety drug. He was arrested and charged with vehicular homicide by intoxication. Later, Harold was found to have smuggled a bag of pills into his prison cell, hiding Xanax, analgesic, oxycodone, and oxymorphone in his sock. He was charged accordingly and is scheduled to appear in court on Thursday. On the official Three Door Down website, the band did not comment on Harold's arrest. "We are deeply saddened by the passing of Paul Howard Childers, Jr.," they wrote. "Our hearts and prayers go out to his family and friends at this difficult time." The group's next scheduled concert is in Louisiana on Friday. Formed in Escatawpa, Mississippi, in 1996, Three Door Downs are best known for their debut single, Kryptonite. Although the band's southern tinge, modern rock, has never found much success in the UK, they have sold almost 2 million albums worldwide. Their first greatest hits collection was released in November. End quote. This unfortunate incident could have happened to many people every day, any place in this world. They have just been fortunate not to have been involved in a traffic collision. Todd has taken responsibility for his actions, which is all anyone could do in this situation. I hope Todd will receive compassion from those not in his shoes and healing for those who lost their loved ones. It's a very difficult situation. Our second personal injury in the news comes from LA Times and has a bit of a happier ending. It's about Kendra Wilkinson, hospitalized briefly after a car accident. And the article is by Christy Zarilla. Quote, "Kendra Wilkinson was reportedly hospitalized briefly on Sunday following a car accident. But on Monday morning, she rebounded with a thankful tweet. Thank you for all well wishes," she wrote. "Just really reminded me how fragile life really is and how important love really is." The girl next door and Kendra star was spotted heading into Providence Tarzana Hospital Center early Sunday, according to U.S. Weekly, which also had a source saying the 27-year-old was really sore and in shock after a bad car accident in Tarzana. After her injuries were determined not to be serious, she was released. End quote. Whenever the outcome from being in a car accident is deemed not to be serious, count yourself lucky. And indeed, it is a time to reflect how good life has been to you. Make sure to keep a copy of my book, Car Accident by Estra, in your car, in case you're involved in a traffic collision. Now for my commentary on you and credibility after a car accident. Others do not give credibility to you. It is something that begins within each individual, a value system nurtured and matured. You decide what is of value. This is why training children is so important. One cannot decide what others choose to say or believe about you. In fact, there will always be some percentage of haters or intimidators or someone with a set of issues. However, confidence in you brings a peace of mind and understanding that is not easily shaken. However, confidence brings a peace of mind and understanding that is not easily shaken. Knowing who you are will hinder the actions of others to force agendas on your psyche, stopping a loss of confidence in yourself and be swayed to their way of thinking. In the movie Trading Places, a line of, quote, "just be yourself, they can't take that from you," end quote, in my opinion, says a lot about credibility. When staying true to yourself, no matter the challenge or fierce opposition, prevail by choosing to stand on your beliefs. Do not allow demeaning attempts of coercion to generate falsehoods or word bullets to lower your self-esteem. Understand the goal may be to belittle down into the lowest levels possible, but in order to get to this level, or all-time low, you will have to follow them down this path. So the answer is simple: don't. Mistreatment may come in many forms. The objective may be the same, to force you to give in or give up. Make the decision early that you will persevere through whatever may come your way, that you will hold on to your self-respect and integrity, and that you will do as you have always done, your best, no more and no less. Credibility can only be shaken if you fall prey to preconceived notions of who you are. You alone hold the lever of credibility by your actions towards yourself, others, your community, country, and our world. Your actions are an extension of your beliefs. the saying of, I have to live with myself, and so I have to be fit for myself to know, also says a lot about credibility, in my opinion. Do not allow shame-based tactics to determine your actions. Acknowledge who you are, have been, and will be in the future. Do not be vilified by anyone or any company. A line in The Lion King describes what happens when you fall into this type of bullying. Quote, you have forgotten who you are, end quote, which from my perspective leaves many individuals lost, confused, and humiliated. Therefore, continue to be the best person you can be by loving and being true to yourself. In my opinion, today's credibility rules and definitions are currently set up to keep those in power in a position to squelch the dreams and hopes of 80% of the people who may be attentive to the injustices in our society. Today, internet provides more avenues for everyday people to learn more and evaluate the credibility of people firsthand in their own words. In this way, many outdated methods of pegging people will no longer be advantageous for a few people. In the last few years, we've seen the media's beliefs regarding individuals be ignored and the people in their communities or country take a totally different stance. Freedom of information is what the internet brings. People will base their decisions on who you are. Really, it's there for most people to easily see. Do not be overcome by harassment, intimidation, cyberbullying. Do not be overcome by harassment, intimidation, cyberbullying, or whatever deviant actions come your way. Your credibility stands, period. Let no mind, money, or other games convince you otherwise. Your credibility is here before, during, and after a car accident. Most people are decent and hardworking, with families who do their best at bringing up their children as responsible adults. Few find perfection along the way, albeit corporations by buying it. You are the same person as before the accident, and your credibility is still intact. Again, comments on the articles reviewed today are my own opinions and have no association with the writers of them. And from time to time, I'll be stopping to comment on a section. So our first article today is a little older, but I thought that it gives a great example of credibility. We're going to go ahead and talk about it. It comes from cybercollege.com, and it talks about the decline of TV news credibility. Quote, although TV news has its moments of shining success, such as the coverage of the terrorist attack on the East Coast on the United States in September 2001 and the invasion of Iraq in 2003, over the last few decades, the credibility of TV news in general has declined. Here are just a few reasons why. As media mergers continue and there is more of an emphasis on corporate profits, business interest has taken over news operations and cutbacks on reporters, writers, videographers, and technicians. I definitely know that we've seen that, all the newspaper closures and consolidations. It's kind of sad, but that's just my comment. I'm going to go on here, quote, TV news is no longer seen as public interest programming the way it once was. It's now a money-making endeavor driven by ratings. And I have to stop here for a minute because I think that we've seen how our society has changed when it's just motivated by profits. The morality becomes almost bankrupt when it's only for the selected few who make outrageous earnings. And now we have so many more Americans homeless on the streets, children hungry, not getting decent education. I mean, the list is endless. And the main thing, in my opinion, that's been driving this is corporate profits. But let me go on. That's another subject. Since rating points translate into profits, maximizing audience size is now the driving force behind most TV news. This has resulted in two things: a shift away from stories which have social and political significance to stories that are more engaging and more easily understood by viewers. And I have to stop here again. And that might explain, at least from my point of view, why on the news you see the same stories running over and over again, and the issues never addressed, or typically rarely addressed, the needs of the average person or people or what's being done. There's so many things and so many ways people are hurting today, but you don't actually get that from major news. If you want to find out about it, hopefully you'll have a computer and are able to do internet searches about the topics of your interest. Okay, I'm going to go back. With the emphasis shifting to form over substance, stations tend to favor news actors over competent news reporters. This article and the follow-up letter speaks to part of this issue, and they've got that. So this is actually a really good link if you really want to get an idea. Make sure that you go out and click on it on Estra's blog tips on Facebook. Okay, I'm going back. In order to increase ratings, some cable news channels are standing news toward the preferred views of their audience. You know, that's kind of scary when you have news that is biased towards what the viewers want to hear. That leaves out a lot of important information, and to me, it also staggers the growth of people because it doesn't say anything about what the truth is, and it moves their value systems to places that aren't necessarily where they need to be moving. Okay, I'm going to go on. Many broadcast professionals remember a time when newspapers and electronic journalism were held in much higher esteem, primarily because there was a high wall separating news departments and bottom-line corporate interests. I just want to say, I'll stop here. Whenever it seems like bottom-line corporate interest gets involved, their machine is their corporate interest, from my point of view. I mean, there are some that do put society at large before their bottom lines, but there unfortunately are a few that don't. And in my opinion, many of them are driving a lot of what we've seen. And in my opinion, a lot of what we see that today that is hurting our society is driven. All you have to look at is Congress last week, and they were so upset about their business travel and not being able to get to Washington, D.C. at a reasonable time, but have no concern for the ladies or men that are Meals on Wheels and Children in Head Start. I mean, I'm sure that the list is endless, and the ones that we're hearing about are just ones that major media wants to talk about, but I know that there are many people out there hurting, and that's just because of low or bottom line corporate interest, from my point of view. Frank Rich of the New York Times made this quote, "We have seen a 20-year trend in which the media has steadily replaced journalistic standards with those of show business." In my opinion, we actually do see that quite a bit. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read this last half here. It says, a study conducted by USC Annenberg School for Communications and the University of Wisconsin-Madison analyzed newscasts of 122 local TV stations in the nation's largest media markets during the 2002 midterm elections. They found that the majority of newscasts at these stations did not contain a single campaign story. Of those that did, the average story was 89 seconds long. Most stories did not focus on issues, but simply who was ahead in the elections. A clear link was found between stations owned by media change and the absence of local election information. The situation is even worse in radio, where thousands of stations in the U.S. are owned by a single company which has few, if any, ties to local communities. It is assumed, generally, by newscast consultants hired by the stations that election news does not help ratings. Even so, political advertising is a major source of revenue for these stations. From my point of view, this is my input here, I just believe that it's programming. They're programming the American public to vote and to think the way that they think is the best interest of their bottom line profits. And to me, is that a credibility issue? From my perspective, those are the type of credibility issues that we should be seeking answers to. Those are the things we should start in our mind thinking, why am I making a decision this way? Why am I being led to this trough? What does that impact on our society, on myself, on my family, on my friends, on our country, on our local cities? And there's another quote here from CNN journalist Peter Arnett with the explanation as to why Americans tend to be less informed about world events than citizens of many other countries. This might be a good example of the dumbing down that we've seen, that they've been quite successful, in my opinion, of doing. Quote, most of the nation's newspapers and magazines and television stations, seeking greater profits through larger audiences, fed the public a diet of crime news, celebrity gossip, and soft features, choosing to exclude more serious topics that news managers feared would not stimulate public attention. There it is. I mean, even though this article was written 10 years ago, you can see the fruits of this type of behavior today. It's really apparent. It says, at the same time, we need to put some things into perspective. For many years, TV has represented the number one source of news and information for the vast majority of people in industrialized nations. Note the graph below that among college-age students, the internet is now the primary source of news. More than one person in this age group has explained that they can simply get the information faster from the internet and often without commercial clutter. And I just want to stop here. And I think that is really one of the great things, the internet, that it brings more than just approximately 20% of someone's views. Everyone has the opportunity to share their views on the internet. You don't even have to have a computer. You can go to most local libraries. And by the way, I hope you went out and enjoyed Library Week the other week. But you can also just, it's a very simple thing to be able to go out there and also have your input, whether you're sharing or finding out information. You have more opportunities. And I think that's the great thing of the internet. Let's not let bottom line corporations take over this source and begin to dominate it in the way that it's done classic media. Because it's definitely trying to get a hold of it, because there's a lot of money from their perspective on the internet. Really, there's more than just credibility at stake with the loss of the internet. But this is a great article. I recommend anybody go out and take a look at it, especially if you want to see how we got to where we are today and perhaps start to help to reverse some of this so that we actually get more news than, I call it drama personally. But when prophets begin to control and dominate a topic or subject, the interest of the people they were serving changed from their everyday viewer to their investor, in my opinion. When one has to worry about what one says or does because of whom it might impact, or because of bullying or intimidation, for many it changes what they say and do and thus become. In my opinion, this is a reason to stay true to who you are, your beliefs, and the facts. When you change yourself for the profits of others, your credibility becomes at stake. Therefore, as I mentioned before, it's about you and trusting yourself and your self-confidence and not being swayed by corporate bottom lines or individual desires. It's about staying true to yourself. And I like that saying, I have to live with myself, and so I have to be fit for myself to know. You just might want to follow that. Our next article comes from Reuters.com, and the title of the article is Analysis, Truth, and Consequences, A Dilemma for Twitter and Its Users. And it's by Jerry Schiss. And it goes, quote, for many, a single fake tweet from the Associated Press account that briefly roiled financial markets on Tuesday, driving the Dow Jones Industrial Average down by 145 points, vividly reaffirms the fearsome, near-instantaneous power of the 140-character message. But the security lapse also revived doubts about Twitter's place in the media landscape and its ultimate value at a moment when its status as one of today's essential information networks has seen all but cemented. Just a week after social media networks took criticism for helping circulate misinformation about the alleged perpetrators of the Boston Marathon bombing, Twitter's security shortcomings fell under the harsh spotlight Tuesday after a hacker group commandeered the AP Twitter account and falsely reported that explosions in the White House had injured President Barack Obama. The AP was only the latest hacking victim in recent days after Twitter accounts belonging to National Public Radio, CBS 60 Minutes, and others were breached. Last year, Reuters News was the victim of hackers who briefly took over one of its Twitter accounts and posted false tweets. The latest hack was by far the most significant. The single AP tweet stunned investors and effectively wiped out $136.5 billion of the S&P 500's index value in a matter of minutes. Although the news agency later disclosed that one of its employees may have inadvertently given away company passwords as the result of a phishing attack by the hackers, security experts quickly faulted Twitter for its longstanding failure to implement two-factor authentication, a double-layer password feature used by the likes of Google Inc. and Microsoft Inc. that might have prevented the spat of high-profile Twitter hijackings. It's one of those cases that we are seeing too often. It's getting unnerving, said Robert Quigley, a journalism lecturer specializing in social media at the University of Texas. What media organizations need to do is pressure Twitter to have a more secure website. Although Twitter has repeatedly declined to address its product roadmap, the company has signaled that it will soon unveil two-factor authentication, including a public job posting in February that suggested that the company was hiring to tackle the problem. Mark Risher, the founder of a security consultancy that counts social media companies, Pinterest and Tumblr, among its clients, said introducing more measures like two-factor authentication would make Twitter more cumbersome to use and potentially slow its users' growth, a critical concern for a company that relies on advertising revenues. But he warned that a prolonged rash of high-profile attacks and an eroding sense of user trust would hurt Twitter more. There's also a trade-off between convenience and safety, Risher says, but a security issue damages Twitter's brand. Says, for Twitter, the hacking has raised questions about its credibility, just as it is beginning to assume a central role in a fast-changing media landscape. With the volume of tweets rising to more than 400 million a day, earlier this month, the Security and Exchange Commission ruled that U.S. companies may report material information such as quarterly results on Twitter, as long as investors are alerted in advance. Days later, Bloomberg LP said it would funnel Twitter directly into its terminals used by thousands of traders on Wall Street. At the same time, the world's leading news organization and Twitter, which has 200 million users around the world, have become increasingly intertwined in a symbiotic, if sometimes troublesome, relationship. Dan Gilmore, a journalist professor at Arizona State University, said the hacks have especially hurt news outlets because their Twitter accounts are often the primary way that their news reaches consumers who may not subscribe to a newspaper or have access to a newswire. Twitter has touted itself as a critical newswire of sorts, such as during the 2011 tsunami in Japan, when it helped emergency responders locate survivors, or when it became a vital lifeline for some New Yorkers as television sets fell dark during Hurricane Sandy last year. But last week, in the wake of the Boston bombing, some of those who previously viewed Twitter as an indispensable news source began turning against the service upon discovering that the wisdom of the crowds is, in fact, an adage not often applicable on the Internet. Steve Brunetto, a senior executive of EdgeWage, a network security company, said Tuesday's hacking undermines Twitter at a sensitive time. And the article goes on quite a bit. You can go out there and take a look at it. I'm just going to drop down to the last paragraph. It says, it's not whether Twitter is credible or not. It's what people do with it, he said. Every news organization feels it has no alternative but to use Twitter. But everyone at the traditional news organization has been thinking really hard about what it means, from whether the security is sufficient on these third-party platforms to what it means to be turning part of your staff over to new kinds of publishers, end quote. You know, from my personal view, is that Twitter is a credible source as any. The difference with Twitter is that everyone is given a voice that cannot be squelched at this time by bottom line corporate profits, although they kind of felt the pinch when their actual accounts were hacked. The question one should ask is, why should anyone want to harass and intimidate the stock market? Why? What points were they trying to make? But regardless, one should not allow people to change your belief about Twitter and its social importance. In my opinion, our credibility as a society is improved when we all, I mean everyone, has a voice and are able to state their beliefs and opinions. And Twitter has become a great source for the participation of everyone. So, from my point of view, yes, it's hacking is not just an issue at Twitter. I'm sure that if you actually go and look at Microsoft and also, what was the other person, Google, I believe there's probably not a major corporation on the Internet that has not been hacked. So this is another example that I want to demonstrate that says about what you believe and standing with your belief. I personally, in my opinion, don't know anyone at Twitter, never talked to them, that Twitter has self-confidence in their product, that they have something that has already been shown to be valuable and people want to use, and that they will overcome any obstacles that they're also facing just like anyone else. And that's why, in my opinion, credibility starts with self-confidence and believing in what you can do and staying with your own beliefs and not being caught up in what somebody else's opinions might be. Thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. Our last article actually is going to be a combination of an article and definitions for confidence, so that now we've defined credibility and we'll define confidence so that you can see the connection. Our first definition comes from Merriam-Webster, and it goes, quote, a feeling or consciousness of one's power or reliance on one's circumstances. And the second one is faith or belief that one will act in a right, proper, or effective way. And the next one is the quality or state of being certain, which I think are all great definitions for the word confidence. Our next definition for confidence comes from the dictionaryreference.com, and its first one says full trust, belief in the powers, trustworthiness, or reliability of a person or thing. Number two is believe in oneself or one's power or ability, self-confidence, self-reliance, assurance. And I think those are great. And the last definition comes from wordreference.com, and it states a feeling of trust in a person or thing, belief in one's own abilities, self-assurance, trust, a trustful relationship, something confided or entrusted. So when you take those two definitions and you put them together, credibility and confidence, you can see how those come together so much and how we actually will respond in most situations in our belief systems. And that's really the role of our credibility. So the last article is coming to us from WikiHow, and its title is How to Be Confident, and it's by Verza Geek, Meg Black, Margaret Compton, and Fickety, and it says 194 others. But it talks about helping to build confidence and being confident. It says, recognize, quote, recognize your talents and good qualities. No matter how down you feel, try to pat yourself on the back a little and remember the things you excel at. Focus on your better attributes and will detract, focusing on your better attributes will distract you from perceived flaws and boost your sense of worth. I have to stop there for a moment. To me, a lot of times when people actually attack your credibility, that's what they're truly attacking, is your self-worth. And that's why confidence is so important. Because if you have confidence in you, in yourself and your belief system and where you stand, then it's very difficult for those attacks to actually penetrate through your armor, your self-armor, that protects you from the things that unfortunately many people experience from others in our society. Okay, I want to go on. Think of your good qualities in looks, friendships, talents, and most of all, personality. Some people have certain flaws, for example. They tend to hold on to their stomach when they sing. This can look awkward, but be sure to embrace it. If you're really at a high level of confidence, for example, you can even make it your signature move on stage. If you're struggling to come up with good qualities, and they list some of these tips. It says, quote, think back on compliments from other people. Another one is remember past accomplishments. And it, actually, there's a lot more in here, but I'm just kind of giving you the highlights so you can go back on Estra's blog tips on Facebook and take a look at the link. Think about qualities you truly cultivate. Make a list. Write down everything you can think of and refer back to it next time you're feeling down. Remember, or I have to add something, or somebody is cyberbullying or harassing or intimidating you or attacking your credibility. Remember that everyone struggles with confidence. Some people are good at hiding it, but nearly every person has struggled with his or her self-confidence at a point in time, and you're not alone. I have to add to that, especially if you're being attacked. Okay. The next one is try not to feel like all eyes are on you all the time. Most people are probably too preoccupied with how they appear to be constantly judging you. So that's a great thing to keep in mind. The next one, build your self-confidence by helping others. The next one is stop comparing yourself with everyone else. And I want to stop and make a comment there. And particularly with this one, maybe you're not comparing yourself to everyone else, but maybe harassers or a bullier or somebody, anyone out there can be doing that. Just because someone else sets up a standard for you as to what they want it to be, for whatever reasons, to pull you up or pull you down, whatever it may be, you don't have to take that. You do not have to take that. You can continue on with your own self-confidence, your own credibility. You do not have to take what somebody else is dishing to you, whether good or bad or indifference. It's not yours to necessarily pick up. Okay. Pay a compliment in return. And let's see here. Make a list of things that are obstacles to your confidence. Okay? That's a great idea, because I think once you actually take a look at those things, in reality you'll find that as anyone else, you have your own strengths and your own weaknesses, and you can always improve if there's something that you find in yourself that you would like to for it to be better. So don't let that, but that has nothing to do with who you are and where you are today, so always remember that. And this one I really like. It says, take care of yourself. Because I personally believe if you do take care of yourself, your self-confidence and your credibility will also benefit from that. I know that sometimes when you're injured and you're sick, you don't really have a lot of energy sometimes. In fact, you probably spend more time the basic things take more energy than most people actually realize. So I know that sometimes it's an extra effort, but if you can squeeze in just a little something special occasionally, it'll help. It talks about dressing for confidence. That might be difficult when you don't feel good, too, and you're injured, and you're also facing a lot of harassment or intimidation or just a lot of pain and suffering. Or I mean, like I said, there's a list. The list is endless as to what could be happening in your life. So the only thing you can do is just put it in perspective and remember that the most important person in this entire equation is you. It also talks about embracing your interests, doing something you like, sometimes just helping somebody else. Maybe you can't do very much of anything, maybe because you're not very well yourself, but try to find a hobby or something that encourages you to help someone in some small way, and perhaps that will also help boost your confidence and credibility. But there's probably 20 or 30 of these on here. This is a great article actually to go out and take a look at for confidence. Scan through it and decide which ones speak to you. And those that speak to you, pick them up and just add something a little bit each day to make you be more confident in yourself. Because believe it or not, you are perfectly made. Your life does matter. Your car accident concerns matter. And being treated fair and with dignity also matters. And it all starts with you making the choice to be self-confident and to realize that no one impacts your credibility except you. You cannot change what others believe or what others think. Most people, especially during a car accident, have their own agenda, and you can't do anything about that. The only thing you can do is to always be yourself and be true to yourself. That's it for our show today. We've enjoyed you being here with us. Let's meet back here next Saturday so we can continue our conversation. Remember to like us on Facebook at Estrus Blog Tips while you're looking at today's links. Also, go out to Twitter at Estrus Radio Show and rate your insurance company's claim process now. We want to extend a special thank you to Audacity, InternetArchives.org, Force M, Crazy Dave, Valerie, Hermina, The Drifters, Wilbur, Sweatman's Doctor, Cosmos One, Will Nine, Booker T and the MGS, and the articles which made our time more interesting. Tune in again Saturday at 11 a.m. for Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. Have a great weekend. It's really all up to you. the information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of Free Speech has allowed Estra's radio show to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers. This reflects life experiences. Estra's radio show is no way liable for the misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, LLC, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington, 98168, or email sunlightpublishing.com.